It's right here in our land. This guy was an internationally known terrorist who persecuted people everywhere he could see, but then he had an encounter with God that changed his life, and he became a worldwide force for good. And it all started right here in Syria. The Ministry of Justice was intrigued, and they said, you know, you make that film because that would be great for our country to be seen in a positive light. So many times people talk about us so negatively. You go ahead and make the movie about this terrorist. And so they did. You know what they made the film about? The Apostle Paul. Saul's encounter with God on the Damascus Road, and how God took someone who was committed to being arresting and killing people all around him and made him a force for good wherever he went. So they made the film, and then they brought it back to the Ministry of Justice, and they watched it, and they said, this is great. We want President Assad to see this. President Assad, one of the most dangerous men in the world. And they carried it to the president, and they came back to this little church, and they said, the president loves this film. He loves it so much, he wants to be the one who sponsors the premiere of your film in our country. And he did. And then copies of it went across the country. And then they came back to this little church, and they said, you know, we just went through an experience in the United Nations, which our president was condemned by the world, and the country that stood up and represented him and took his side in the whole thing was the country of Russia. And Russia was the one who vetoed the condemnation, the motion of condemnation. And you know, Russia's a Christian country because the Orthodox Church is so well known there. And the president is trying to think of something he could do that he could send to the people of Russia that would let them know that we are grateful for them for what they did. Is it possible for you to make more copies of your film? And they said, sure, how many do you want? We want 1 million. And 1 million copies of the story of Paul traveled all across the country of Russia because of one little church that heard God speak and stepped out in faith and saw what God can do through people in a place where you would think there are not very many believers at all. That's astounding, isn't it? It is astounding what God can do in the lives of people who just say, Lord, if you'll show us what to do and how to do it, we'll go to work. There are few things that will take your spiritual life to a higher level more than this statement. I want to be used by God. If I had to take the theme of what we've been doing the last few weeks and what we'll do for the next few weeks, as we look at a day in the life, at a day in the life of Jesus Christ and all of the things that took place in Mark chapter 6, in the back half of Mark chapter 6, that's probably what I would do. I would say the theme of these passages is Jesus was teaching his disciples what it meant to say, I want to be used by God. Remember at the beginning, he sent them out two by two. And then he brought them back and he taught them about the rhythm of faith. And now today, he's together with them again. And there's a whole new lesson that they have to learn because they encountered a problem and they really weren't sure how to solve it. The Bible says in Mark 6:33, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities, and they arrived before them and came together to him. And because of the situation that developed that day, and because of the way that the Lord led them to respond, they learned what it means to simply say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want you to give me a dream. I want you to give me a vision. I want you to put a calling on my life. I want to open an opportunity where you can use me in a special way. Because here's one thing that's true of a prayer like that. That is a prayer he will always answer. He does it with different people at different times. It may be in a way you expect. It may come in a way you never saw coming. To pray to be used by God is a prayer that completely changes the focus of your attention. I think that's what we saw with these guys just a moment ago. That willingness to be used by God to do something new, something that maybe you've never done before, but you simply say to Him, Lord, if you want to use me, I'm ready to be used. Your focus changes from inward toward yourself to upward toward the Lord and outward toward the ways that He wants to use you. So we never need to ask the question, can God use me? Because the answer is always the same. Yes. The real question is, do I want to be used? That's the question I face today, and that's the question you face today. Do I want to be used? Can God use me? Without a doubt. God can use me in ways I might never imagine. God can use me in bigger ways than I ever could have thought of. God can use me touching a single life in Jesus' name. God can use me. The question is, do I want to be used? Today we're going to be looking together at the feeding of the 5,000, and that's a model for how the Lord empowers people to be used. Throughout Mark 6, the Lord continues to move His disciples toward that point of realizing God can use us, God will use us, all we've got to do is trust Him. So He had sent them out and He had brought them back, and now they were learning new lessons about how to serve and how to lead. And that's still what He does today. God uses you in incredible ways. Sometimes it comes through opportunities. Sometimes it comes through challenges. Sometimes it comes through obstacles. Sometimes it comes through situations that you could never have imagined. And sometimes He uses you by bringing you to a point where you realize if God is going to use you, then you're going to have to depend completely upon the Lord. You'll have no other choice. And Jesus compelled His disciples to learn that lesson in the passage we read together today. So I want us to look at what Jesus was doing as He taught His disciples to trust God to use them in fresh new ways. Trust God to do things in their lives that they could never do without Him. And the first thing you see is this. He presented them with an overwhelming challenge. Not just any challenge, a challenge that was impossibly bigger than they were. Throughout the day, they had watched as Jesus had done ministry to the people. You remember, they'd really gone to be apart for a little while, but the crowds found them and the multitudes continued to gather. And the word spread across the countryside, Jesus is here, come and hear Him. And they came by the dozens, by the scores, by the hundreds, by the thousands. Because they were eager to see Jesus, to meet Jesus, to hear Jesus, to have their lives changed by Jesus. And remember, the Bible says He felt great compassion for these people. And He sat down in the midst of it. And for the rest of the day, Jesus did nothing but teach the Word of God and meet the needs of people. All day long, He continued to teach, to speak, to meet, to share. And as the day began to draw toward a close, the disciples realized among themselves, nobody's going home. Now, they were thrilled to see so many people coming to hear their master, but nobody's going home. They realized a problem's developing. The sun is going down. They're in a desolate place. Soon all of these people are going to be truly hungry. And Jesus still doesn't seem to notice that it's time to draw it all to a conclusion. So the disciples got their heads together and they began to come up with a solution. After all, we've got to do something with these people. There's nothing right here to feed them. Remember, they're in the wilderness. But they said, you know, there are homes and farms and villages and towns that are not all that far away. And if we turn these people loose, they can go and find something to eat before they make their way home. So they went to Christ and they said, Lord, we've been talking and we think it's time for you to stop because the people are hungry. Somehow I have in my mind that when Peter said to the Lord, the people are hungry, that somewhere from deep about here, Peter's stomach said, "Rawr!" But he was concerned about the people. Everybody's hungry, Lord. Unless we turn them loose, they're not going to be able to find any food. The disciples had a good plan. It was a good plan to feed the people. It was simple and it was easy. All you've got to do is let them go and they'll find something to take care of themselves. It was a good plan, but it was not the Lord's plan. He had something different in mind. And Jesus said to them, there's no reason to send these people away. You give them something to eat. Feed these people. 5,000 men besides women and children. So probably more than twice that number gathered on the hillsides. And Jesus says, you feed them. The disciples had no idea what to do. You know, it's one thing to be sitting down to supper in your own house and maybe some out-of-town family shows up that you weren't expecting and they say, how you doing? What's going on? And they recognize there's a meal being served because you can always find ways to stretch your meal a little bit, you know, take a little smaller portion, maybe make the soup a little more soupy. But what do you do when you're looking at thousands and thousands of people and the Lord just said, you feed them. Feed them right away. One of them blurted out what all of them were thinking. There's no way that you can feed all of these people. It would take more money than you can make in 6 months just to buy each one of them a simple meal. They said the only way we could afford to feed all of these people would be if Rich Hutchins was there with all of his money. What are we going to do? How in the world are we going to take care of these people? Wasn't a hard situation. It was an impossible situation. Without a doubt, the apostles were in a dilemma that they had no idea how to solve. They had forgotten what Jesus had told them before. The things that are impossible with man are possible with God. There's no doubt the apostles knew we are in over our heads. Jesus had put them in an impossible situation. This is something I believe with all of my heart. The feeling of being overwhelmed is a sure sign that God is at work when he's making a spiritual leader. When God is building someone to make a difference for him, he's not going to give you the easy way. He's not going to show you the sure path. Instead, he's going to present you with an impossible situation where all you can do is trust the Lord because you have no other choice. He puts you in that hard place. He wants you to be in a position where you have no choice but to trust him and only him. And anytime you face an obstacle or a challenge where your first response is, no problem, Lord, I can handle that. Excuse me. I can handle that. The challenge probably isn't from Christ. If you find yourself in a situation where you're thinking, nothing to it, easy peasy, I'll handle it right now. That's probably not God's challenge for your life because you don't grow when you're not challenged. God knows that spiritual growth only comes from being pushed beyond your limit. He wants you to encounter situations where if the Lord doesn't come through, you are absolutely going to fall. Without a doubt, you're going to fail unless God does something. That's where you learn what it means to depend upon him. And if you're not leaning on him, you cannot lead. Never run from overwhelming situations. Instead, ask the question, where is God in all of this? He would not have put this obstacle, this challenge, this need in front of me unless he was doing something through my life. Where is God in all of this? Because that's where you'll find him. So he placed them in an impossible situation, and then he asked for whatever they had. Instead of admitting the impossibility of the situation, as Jesus looked over this multitude of people all around the hillside, he gave simple instructions. He simply said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." They had just said, Lord, it's impossible. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough substance. Besides, there's nobody here to sell us the bread if we could buy it. He just said, well, what do you have? What do you have? Go and check for all of that. They came back and they said, we've got a report, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, John tells us that what they had were the contents of one little boy's sack lunch. I love what else John tells us about that, because it tells us about one of my favorite apostles, the guy who always noticed other people and never really sought the limelight for himself, but he always seemed to be in the right place at the right time. In John, the Bible says, there's a little boy here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know who knew that? You know who knew that? Andrew. I love that. You know, Andrew, the one who told his brother. He's the one who somewhere across the course of that afternoon had been sitting down, maybe just like you were, talking to a little boy and finding out that the little boy was showing him what he brought for lunch. And he's the one that knew. And he told the others, look, I know one little boy. He's got some lunch here. Well, what has he got? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What good is that going to do us? But they told the Lord anyway. And then Jesus asked the real question. Not how much do you have? He asked, will you give it to me? Will you give me what you have in your hands? Are you willing to place it in my hands, and are you willing to let it go? Because when the Lord calls you to do something for him, his question is seldom how much. Not how much talent, not how much wisdom or ability or confidence or possessions or money or anything else. When God calls you to do something, the real question is, will you give me what you do have? Will you give it all? Can you imagine that little boy? He's saying, I have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I think I'll keep one of each for myself. You can have the rest. But that's not what he did. He gave it all because that's what it takes. Because when you give it all, then you're really trusting the Lord. And there are so many people the Lord's willing to bless and to use, but they just can't let it all go. Some say, I don't have enough to give. Will you give it to me? Will you put it in my hands? Well, I don't have enough to give. I don't have enough talent. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not devoted enough. There are others who are so much more capable than me. I'm not enough. How can I ask the Lord to use me when I know before I ever begin what I give him is not going to be enough? Maybe I'd better just step back and let somebody else, more gifted, wiser, more spiritual than I am, let them give the gift because I'm not enough. And then there are others who say, I have too much to give it all. If I give it all, that's too big a sacrifice. If I give it all, I've got an abundance, and some of it I need to hang on to myself for myself. I need to make sure that I'm taken care of and mine are taken care of, and then whatever's left, I can give that to God. I just can't let go of all of it. I don't mind surrendering some things to Christ, but I'm not going to give it all. Whether you think you don't have enough or believe that you have too much, you face the same dilemma. What am I going to place in the hands of Jesus? What am I going to give to him? Because here's something that the Bible tells us is true. God will only use what you place in his hands. He won't grasp for what you're not willing to let go of. He will not pry it out of your hands. But he also won't use it unless you give it to him. The demand of Jesus Christ never changes. I want everything. I want it all. Will you give it to me? He wants the things that are surrendered, not the things that are shared. Do you have unsurrendered skills? He won't bless them. Do you have an unsurrendered schedule? He won't bless it. The story reveals something we should never forget. Even if you have unsurrendered needs, you withhold them from the Lord when you don't place them in His hands. Don't hold back because you think He won't help you. Don't hold back because you think it's not enough. All you can do is put it in His hands and not be afraid to really trust Him. If the Lord's really going to move in your life, then you have to put it all in His hands. And you may be here today and you're thinking, you know, I believe Him, I trust Him, I belong to Him, but I'm not sure I trust Him like that. But that's what He calls for. So finally, they surrendered and they put it into His hands. They gave Him what He'd asked for. And then Jesus did something unbelievable. And He did it through them. I want you to imagine the scene with me. Jesus tells this vast crowd of people, everybody sit down. Sit down in groups of 50 or 100, but sit down in groups together. Then He gave each of the 12 a basket. Handed them out, basket maybe this big, maybe that deep. And He says a prayer and He asks God to bless it and to take care of the people and to provide for their needs. And then He says to the 12, okay, now come here and let me divide it all among you. And He went from man to man. The Bible says He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and He divided the two fish among them all. I want you to think about this. Before they began to feed the people, the disciples are each standing there with a basket. And Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and He divides it among 12 baskets. And each man is looking in his basket, and he's doing the same thing. He's looking down. He's shaking it. He's thinking, all I got's a couple of fish nuggets. Less than half a loaf of bread. That's all that's here. What am I supposed to do with this? We won't even get past the first row. And then Jesus says, you feed this to the people. And tell folks, take something to eat. In fact, He says, take that little bit and hold it in front of the first person and say to them, take all you want. All you want doesn't even work for one person. There's not all you want in this whole basket. What do you mean, take all you want? But that's what they did. They walked down the row. I don't know exactly how it worked. You know, I don't know if we did it like you pass an offering plate, but I really kind of think maybe they walked in front of one person to the next and said, take all you want, take all you want. This doesn't work. Take all you want, take all you want. He's got a handful. Take all you want, take all you want. And everybody did, and everybody got all they wanted. And when it was all over with, what does it say? Each one of them had a basket full of food. They started out with just a little bit. They fed thousands of people, and now every one of them has an overflowing basket. How on earth does something like that happen? Well, this is what we know. For the 12 to do what Jesus told them to do meant they were going to have to step out in faith and believe Jesus knew what He was doing. Every one of them said the same thing to themselves. I don't understand what's going on. I knew it wouldn't work when we started, but we gave it to Him anyway. and now everybody's full, and we've got an abundance. They left with little, they returned with much. They would never forget what happened that afternoon. They would never forget when the Lord put them in an impossible situation and demanded everything from them. And they knew it wouldn't work, but they did it anyway. And there was an abundance at the end. I have no doubt that to the end of their days, they would tell the story of what happened that day. And I have no doubt that as the people returned home, they said, "We went to meet Jesus. We stayed till late in the day. And Jesus sent out these disciples with bread and fish." I have no clue where it came from. All I know is there was more than we could use. It was the most astounding thing I've ever seen in my life. And that's how the Lord grows spiritual leaders. When we say to Him, "I'm not much, but what I am and what I have, I give to You," then you see God do astounding things. Because what Jesus did through the disciples is the same thing He wants to do through you today. He wants to be able to use you to overflowing. He doesn't want to have just enough. He wants to use you to bless people abundantly. And all you have to do is put everything in His hands and do what He says to do. And the abundant, overflowing life comes from Him. So what do we learn from this story today? It's very simple. Spiritual leadership is always about stepping out in faith. Spiritual leadership is never about staying where it's safe and doing what is easy. It is about stepping out and trusting God to do through you the things you could never do in any other way. And when God's people trust God's power enough to be obedient to God's direction, He will do things we can never imagine. So I guess there's just one real question to ask today. So what are you willing to put in His hands? I mean, it really just comes down to that, doesn't it? How much are you willing to let go and place in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Knowing that as much as you hold back and choose not to surrender, you are holding something that He can't and won't bless. So let it go and give it all to Him. I'm not just talking about the things you can count. In fact, I'm mostly thinking about the life that you live. A life that says, "I want to live in such a way that the only explanation is Jesus." Are you ready to do that today? Maybe you're here today, you're not a believer. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, but you know that's what you need to do. And you need to come to Him and say, "Lord, I put it all in Your hands. I put my sin in Your hands and ask You to forgive it. And I put my life in Your hands and ask You to take me. And I put my eternity in Your hands. And I trust You to give me everlasting life. I trust You as Savior and Lord." And today, if you're not a believer, in a moment when we have our invitation hymn, I just want you to come forward and I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the one who can change you for now and forever. And it would be our privilege. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing, if I'm going to put my life in His hands, He's calling me to do that right here at First Baptist Church. I need to join this church. I need to be a part of seeing what God is doing through the folks here at First Baptist. And you want to come and you just want to say, You know, I'm here because I'm being obedient. Because this is what the Lord has told me to do, and that's why I'm here. Or maybe you're here as a believer and you're thinking, you know, I know exactly what I've got to surrender. I know exactly what I've got to put in His hands for Him to do what only He can do. And I just want to come today and say to the Lord, I surrender in front of these people. I surrender whatever God wants. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As we sing, as God's Holy Spirit deals with you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Looking forward to being back tonight as we gather together. Rich is going to be leading our Bible study tonight. Deacons, we're going to be meeting in 152, 4:30 for the active deacons, and then 5 o'clock for our deacon study. We're going to be looking more at the leader that God can use. So I hope you'll be here for that special time. It's been good to share a day in God's house, hasn't it? So glad you are here. Let's bow together for our closing prayer and then one last song. Father, we do want to pray. Help us put everything in Your hands, nothing held back, so that, Lord, You can use and bless us and do things we could never do apart from You. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.